Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker, and today on the show, we have returning guest, Will Green, co-founder of Lestrange London. And in the chat, we discover more about the journey, what they've been up to in the last 3 years, some innovation products that I think you'll like, but a little bit about Lestrange London. In a world of hyper-convenience and overconsumption, they want to strip away complexity from your everyday. Their modular clothing system compromises comfortable, easy-to-pair, versatile pieces designed to be worn in any setting. Fewer things mean fewer decisions, less impact on the planet, and more time to focus on what's important. And here to tell us more about Lestrange London is co-founder Will Green.
So Lestrange, so we're a menswear brand, and our proposition really is about trying to provide an essential wardrobe for men, in order to kind of invest in a timeless set of products that last a lifetime, and we're really driven by this idea of essentialism, and essentialism is really about it's kind of a philosophy of living that asks you to question what is of real value and what is important in your life, and to be therefore quite intentional about the things that you own, and by extension the products that we sell we think fulfill that objective of providing the tools for an essentialist way of life, and the outcome of that really is that you don't need as much stuff. We think that the fashion industry is a kind of circus of newness, and much of that newness is really superfluous in nature, and we want to provide an offering to people to be able to move in the other direction. So we have this kind of embedded strap line of with less do more, which really is applicable to many things beyond clothing, but it's really in the context of the wardrobe. It's, you know, you really can do more with less items, and that's what we do.
That's interesting that you say that, because I've just moved a load of stuff from my mum's place that I had stored over there back here to my home in Chiswick. And I do feel like we spend half of our life collecting stuff and the other half going down to Oxfam and getting rid of it all, or wherever you might want to, you know, put your secondhand stuff. It's, but what
absolutely,
I really liked,
yeah.
What I really liked about Lestrange was going across the website and having a look at all the clothes is how interchangeable the garments are. So you might have perhaps 5 or 6 garments if you want to shop for you, but then you can make those garments and give them all the miles you want and stretch them out and make them for different occasions. And because they don't have, like, they're not so logo heavy and they're not so fashion led, or if that's the right way of saying it. Is that how you envisaged the brand at the beginning, was to kind of make all of the garments interchangeable with one another?
Yeah, so we call it the modular wardrobe, and exactly that. You know, each product is a module, and they're all interchangeable. What we like the idea. Obviously, this it doesn't actually happen in reality. But if you could get dressed in the dark, that would be a great way to dress, and that's it. You know, any of the products go together, and it's designed to be actually delivering quite a maximal variation in the products, in the way that you're wearing them, but you're just doing it with very few.
I'm smiling because I actually do get changed in the dark in the morning, because I'm always the first up and I've got to walk the dog, and I kind of fumble around with the torchlight on my phone at best, because I don't want to wake my girlfriend up. And the second that I can't find anything and I might just have to put on a little lamp in the corner, it's always my eyes. she's like one of the gremlins, like I've just put on, you know, flashlights or something. So yeah, getting changed in the dark, it's a skill.
It's a similar story for me. with my wife, and we've got a newborn in the bedroom at the moment. So it's a sort of creep open the door. There is a bit of light coming through from the windows, but it's, you know, it's just, you just take the thing that's on the top of the pile, you know. There's no thinking or kind of, you know, opportunity to just size up what you've got. It just needs to just work, whatever you grab.
Yeah. You can't like do a quick mini fashion reel for Instagram of what, you know, come get dressed with me in the morning or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, perhaps so, because we spoke, I want to say back in May, I think 2020. What's happened in the last 3 years, you know, outside of you having a kid, obviously, but for the brand, what's really developed with the brand, would you say, in that time since we last spoke?
I think the areas I've been most excited about over the last couple of years is really developing our products and some projects that we brought to life that are sort of extracurricular to the core wardrobe. And we have this sort of thesis of looking at the entire life cycle of a product. And it's our kind of duty as designers to think about how we can sort of engineer the lifetime to become longer at every phase of that life cycle. And one such place is where products start to lose their luster. You know, particularly, I'm sure we've all experienced, you know, some nice rich black t-shirts or, you know, a navy pair of cotton trousers that, you know, after some time, they just start to lose that vibrancy that you get when you take them out of the box. So it was incredibly exciting. We launched a product called Refresh, which is a tablet that when you put it in the wash, it acts as a gentle exfoliant on the fabrics and incredibly brings back the color to these fibers. What's the weirdest part is the weirdest part of this is we couldn't find this product anywhere else on the market. So it was actually a world first, but by our research, never had this chemistry been brought to the consumer in the way that we brought it. So that was super exciting, and we've had incredible feedback from that and kind of onward opportunities and doors that have been opened, with some people coming out of the woodwork would like to partner with us, and really just cementing our vision into this broader perspective that we really must slow the fashion industry down, and it's not just a case of looking at how to lower the impact of products, but it's actually a lot to do with how we can use those products and extend the lives of those products. So Refresh launched last August, and we've continued to push in the direction of what we call life care. And we have another project that is close to execution called ReDye. And it's kind of what we see as this sort of this service offering that all around repair, rejuvenation and life extension. ReDye is another such project which we hope to be able to, kind of like you would imagine bringing back a pair of churches, you know.
Is it a product? Is it something palpable, or is it something like a service?
So where Refresh is a product, ReDye is a service, but it's a service that sort of intersects with that process of wanting to rejuvenate the color in clothes. And I think this will be something, you know, I wouldn't say the technology is nearly as innovative as Refresh. You know, ReDyeing fabrics is something which is quite available on the market, but doing it as a service in the context of clothing, I think actually is particularly innovative. At least I haven't seen anyone else that's doing it. And we envisage it the same way you would take a smart pair of shoes back to the brand, like you'd have your churches resold. or, you know, as you're having the likes of Jason Marks is coming up and doing that sort of thing for sneakers, this is the service where you actually bring back the clothes, which, you know, are what you might have deemed to be at the end of their lifetime, and we will re-dye them. So very near to bringing that to fruition, which is really exciting. And then I think a third project, which we must have been quite near to launching around the time that we last spoke, but perhaps later in that year, was Rework. And Rework is a repair and resell program. So we bring products back from factories that have perhaps missed the quality levels that we would expect, and therefore aren't deemed to be okay to sell to market. Or we bring products back which have had faults that have come through from customers, which, you know, albeit small, does happen. And we take these products back to our factories, fix them, repackage them, and then sell them as what we call reworked products. And there's a, you know, there's a sort of a tiering to that. So you might have a product which is, you know, as good as new, and then there might be a product which is good, but, you know, shows signs of wear. Mm. And that's actually been a huge hit. We've launched that Black Friday. We've launched Rework the last two Black Fridays, and again, just a moment to really sort of build this different perception of how we consume at points in the year where people are really on the fast pace of consumption. So it is really galvanizing. These projects bring the team together. They're quite multi-departmental, but as in they're just very difficult to execute because they don't fall under one person's banner. So it makes quite a challenge bringing things like this to market. The redye has been a particular headache for many people in the team, I can say.
Why is that?
But just because the typical functions of, say, so we have, you know, a head of production, and we've got a head of impact, and we've got the head of design, and they're all required in figuring out what makes sense. You know, you're bringing back a product which, from the production manager's perspective, he's not typically involved in anything to do with end of life. So bringing a product back from the market and then having to sort of coordinate any type of, you know, production activity is sort of falling outside of his remit. The impact manager has got his own intentions of like really what needs to happen, and his vision for, and he's really led the process, but isn't necessarily as operationally involved. And then obviously you've got the designer coming in and inputting on, you know, what the caliber of now the resell of that product needs to be and how it looks. So, but they all just fall out of what you deem to be typical role functions. So it can be quite challenging.
So Will, can I ask, I guess, personal question, with all of these like projects going on and with maybe clothes coming back and doing redyeing and like reworking, does this kind of affect bottom lines as in terms of margin? Because I guess like most businesses want to just sell the clothes. I know this kind of goes against the grain of your philosophy with the brand, but most businesses want to just kind of get the clothes out the door and never want to see them again. And with the rework, for example, how that sounds like the kind of the broken biscuits aisle. Like you want to get the good stuff, but then you also don't mind having something that's just slightly torn around the edges, right? So, but is there enough margin in all of these projects to kind of keep you incentivized and keep this ticking over?
Well, they're all products which are sold, or services that are sold, and Rework is no exception. We're bringing product back that might otherwise have been written off. and selling it at a lower price to the core product. But by the time it actually gets back to the customer, there's often so little to be able to tell the difference between. The actual outcome is still an extremely positive experience. And actually, I think that's kind of our job, is to make what might have ordinarily been perceived as being a sort of secondary experience, you know, or a lesser experience than the core, and to say, actually, this is still absolutely fine. This is absolutely great. So there's margin to be had there. And I think experience still to be gained, and sort of an elevation point still from the brand, from the brand's kind of narrative and perception. I think probably what should be recognized is that we get really excited about these products and projects, but not everyone cares. You know, that is a reality of, you know, let's call it sustainability, somewhat, is that really sustainability is so hard to make it the determining factor of a purchase for many customers. Yeah. And I think our customers, and I think they are excited and engaged with some of those projects, but, you know, actually what they're excited, engaged about is the kind of storytelling and the narrative, and the fact that we're doing that is kind of cool, and it's just, you know, it's something they might share in conversation, but maybe, you know, tacitly is the actual impact that is being saved as a result of these projects the reason that they might come back to the brand, or the reason that they might share those stories with their friends. I'm not sure that actually is. But it all sort of builds into this wider kind of perspective about who we are. So, you know, as much as I'd like Refresh to become a major part of our revenue base, it's not. It's very, I mean, the product the product's also very, very inexpensive. It's £9 for one of these tablets, or I think we sell a three pack for slightly less than it's multiple. So actually its feature is against the rest of the range is small. But I think it's all part about building that kind of continual touch point to then bring back the story of buying less, buying intentionally, thinking about how you're using a garment and how that actually can enhance the way that you're living selfishly, to like enhance the way that you're living. And that also happens to be something which is quite compatible with trying to live in better harmony with the planet.
Well, unless Dragon's Den comes in and wants to throw like 500 grand at Refresh for a 20% stake. If you're saying that there's nothing else like that on the market, is there something that is completely innovative that you could perhaps take on as a side? I know it's like another part of the brand, but as a completely different entity to Lestrange, would you consider that?
It's funny you say. So I can't speak to any details particularly, but these have been the onward doors that have opened. I mean, I can say, sadly, we haven't had a Dragon's Den shark come in and say, look, let's buy this part of your business and make it separate. Those aren't the doors, but we've had a lot of interest in other people wanting to essentially white label the product or buy the product directly. There are some conversations with department stores at the moment about taking it. We don't sell our products through department stores, but we're considering Refresh for that. It could be very possibly. I think to speak to its viability there, I think the thing about the main thing about Refresh to note is it's not like a washing tablet. It's a one-time hit. So you can't sort of continually refresh garments. So I don't know that it would necessarily fall into the oh, great, we've got a fast consumable product here. I think this is possibly one of the reasons why it hasn't been brought to market before. And I think it's why, you know, why were we a small independent menswear, British menswear label, the people to bring this to market? And I think it's because we weren't looking at it from the perspective like, wow, this is a huge commercial opportunity. This is really around a deep kind of intention to want to, you know, do what I've said, which is, you know, try and extend the life of clothes and build these relationships with products more than just, you know, a season. So it sort of fell to us to say, well, let's bring it to market, even if it isn't the kind of fast consuming product that you might need for a Procter and Gamble to come in and say, let's bring it to market. Because this technology has actually been around. This is the weirdest thing. It's like it's been around for decades. So our luck was that we were essentially in the market looking for re-dye technology, and we were wanting to kind of bring this service to life. And we met this scientist who's been working with this technology for decades on the industrial side, on the commercial side. And he's been someone that's involved in production of fabrics and this sort of enzymatic washes, as the sort of terminology is in commercial parlance, is these types of recipes are kind of available, and they're used in all different ways to kind of provide finishes and different textural changes to fabric. But just no one had really come in and seen it as something to bring to the consumer, because, you know, these are sort of one-time things that you can do. Anyway, the long and short of it is just that it's a technology that had been around for a while. No one had seen a huge commercial opportunity with it, and ended up falling to us to bring it to life.
Well, I mean, we talk about narratives, right? What better narrative to have than coming from an honest place, just saying, look, we're just trying to bring these clothes, these old clothes, back to life and give them another few years on the people's bodies. And now you're going, well, if we can also make a huge mint out of it on the back end, then who's going to say no?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
If I get an Aston Martin out of it, then, you know, maybe I deserve it. Well, Will, listen, it's been great talking to you. Thanks for walking me around some of the new collections and some of the new campaigns and projects that you got on the go. Where can people go online to see the clothes and the projects?
You can find us. So we've got obviously an online shop, but we've got two stores in London, one in Seven Dials, which is just next to Covent Garden, and we've got another in Spitalfields, and I don't know whether I can say, but I'll say it anyway, is that I think we might be opening our first international store in Amsterdam in the coming months. So we're in legals on that at the moment. It's not finalized, so I might live to regret that. But anyway, there is intention for that roadmap, which is quite exciting.
Well, it's nice to give people hope. What about online? Where can people go see you?
So our website is lestrangelondon.com.
Wonderful. And we'll put all the links over on the show notes. The social handles as well is lestrangelondon, I think, on Instagram.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that where you hang out? Are you running that channel?
We have a small team. I'd love to take credit for the social feed, but that's something which I'm quite arm's length on now, to be honest.
Do you go to a particular shop at all, is there, or do you kind of flip around between all of them?
For
your shops, yeah. Are you in Spitalfields or are you in Seven Dials mainly?
Earlham Street, yeah, that's the one. It's next to our studio, which is in Soho, so it ends up being quite conveniently near. Yeah,
nice. Well, thanks again, Will. Great talking to you. Great catching up, and all the best with the products. Hopefully, we'll touch base in another couple of years from your yacht in Monaco, once the refresh tablets just hit the mass markets. But until then, great speaking to you, and speak to you soon.
Lovely stuff. All right, thanks.
You've been listening to the Menswear Style podcast. Be sure to head over to menswearstyle.co.uk for more menswear content and email info@menswearstyle.co.uk if you would like to be a future guest on the show. Finally, please help support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.